something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Movie Crush, Mini Crush, Mini Crush, Movie Crush.
You said it, Chuck. That was a mouthful. I don't even know where we are anymore.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I've got a little bit of a snuffleupagus situation going on.
Yeah, people, we record these in batches sometimes, a couple at a time. So Noel's not been sick for weeks and weeks.
It's true. I got sick on my last day of travel. In L.A., I thought I'd, you know, I get the funk, something, you know, the travel funk sometimes,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I thought I was in the clear. And then the last day, I got it, Chuck.
You shouldn't have gone on that Tinder date that where the young lady said, I usually have colds.
That's true.
And that was her big selling point.
That was her, like, headline.
Did they have headlines?
Which I think is hot, by the way. Colds.
Is there a headline
get
on
it,
Tinder?
Get it, colds or hot?
Yeah.
That's funny. It was an accident. Yeah, man, it's like a profile. You got to have like a...
You have like a banner headline of who you are that's not... Are you going to show me your Tinder profile?
No, I just want to see what it says. I'm interested. Yeah, so here's one, for example. It says, if I could donate $1 million, it'd be to save all pit bulls and orangutans.
And that's just sort of like...
Well, you got
my mission. If you want to know as much about me as you can in one sentence, is the sentence.
It goes even further. My dream dinner guest is Elizabeth Warren. Wow, this is a very progressive young lady.
That's nice.
Most recent act of kindness: told somebody they dropped their phone.
And is this accompanied by a photo?
It's accompanied by a montage of photos. The first thing you see is a picture with their name and then their age and what they do.
Okay.
This is on Bumble, which is a step. This is like Tinder for young professionals.
Okay? Oh.
Then you scroll through, and it gives you some stats about whether they like smoke, how tall they are. And then you got this little headline about saving pit bulls and stuff.
Huh.
Man. Just trying to bring you around to the now, Chuck. This is how the kids do it these days.
Jeez. I'm so out of it, man. Do you know what I did in my day?
You went to a place and met humans?
I would go to a bar and hang out with my friends. And never talk to girls because I was just enjoying hanging out with my friends.
Yeah. That's the thing, though. I keep saying,
I was
man.
Never like the guy who went and like, you know, it's Friday night. Let me go out and meet somebody.
I don't know how anybody does that, dude. Like, that is just beyond my realm of understanding. I go to bars with my friends and I keep saying, maybe one day I'll just have a chance encounter.
You know?
Maybe that's what'll happen.
Well, that's the only, like, as a result, I didn't date a lot. I always had like.
How'd you meet Emily?
Well, Emily and I were friends
in
a group of people.
That's nice.
That's the way, like, anyone that was ever my girlfriend, I didn't have a lot of them, but I had a few, like, long, steady girlfriends, and they were all people I met through friends or through work or something. It was never just like, hey, I'm going to go out and get a phone number tonight.
Yeah. No, I know. You know? I don't know.
I didn't know how to do that.
I still don't. That's why the Tinder thing is appealing to me, because it's a relatively, you know, everyone's on there for the same reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no worry of like walking up to a girl in a bar and her like looking at you like, get away from me, creep, you know?
If I was young and single, I would totally probably try that sort of dating, just because it would make me date, which I never did. And it's, you know, probably... like you can just say like, hi, you seem like a nice person and we have something in common.
But it has its own. It has its
30% of the work.
It
is
has
done.
Its own pitfalls, though. Oh, there's all kinds of issues where it's like women get way more matches than men and therefore are inundated by lots of creeps that are sending them stuff. So to kind of wade through that, if you're an actual decent-ish guy,
nightmare.
It can be
nightmare for everybody.
Kind of, yeah.
All because of creeps.
Exactly, exactly.
They're fucking it up for everybody.
Really are, man. And they exist. IRL and online.
Yep. All right. Let's start it off with some polls, Noel.
Not Noel, holes. Noel's polls?
But polls.
All right, cool.
This one is pretty easy. I just went with Poll Truth M&M's Plain or Peanut. And I have to shout out all the people that said, trick question, peanut butter. A lot of people said that in the comments.
Interesting.
Have you ever had peanut butter?
Yeah, they're good.
They're really good.
I like the crunch of the nut, though, the peanut.
Well, I'm a peanut guy for sure. But peanut butter is good, and someone even mentioned the pretzel ones. Here's what I say. Do not make the mistake of getting the caramel, although all apologies to Alicia Dietz. She said caramel. I don't care for those.
It's just to get stuck in your teeth. And it's a lot of caramel to eat. In one sitting, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I want a single caramel bite. I don't want an entire bag of caramel items, you know?
Sure, I agree. And also shout out to Trevor Dolinsky, who says, they're both gross, Skittles.
Are you kidding me?
So, I don't know. Apparently Trevor's Skittles are 8 years old.
Awful. I'm just kidding. Oh, shout out to, who was it that sent us that box of stuff?
Vanessa Lopez. Are we going to thank her on every show?
Only because she included... two giant bags of peanut M&Ms. So clearly she has cast her lot in the peanut M&Ms camp.
Did she?
Yeah.
I didn't see those.
I gave them away because I didn't want them.
No, that's right.
Sorry, Chuck.
It's okay.
No, hold on a second. Let me say why. I didn't want them because they're delicious and I would have eaten them all.
Sure.
And I'm trying not to be a fat boy.
Right,
so
right, right.
That no. I gave them away to, you know, the more bodily blessed folks in our office.
They just sit around and eat that shit in front of our face.
And just keep getting
like
skinnier
it's
and
so
skinnier.
So funny. Yeah. Okay, next poll, Noel. Poll Truth, best Thanksgiving movie. I can only pick two, everyone. I apologize. You know what, dude? I didn't even say who won the Plain or Peanut contest, and I deleted it already.
What? Well, you don't even know? You don't remember?
No, I didn't even look, because I was looking at the comments, and then I just hit delete.
Oh, man.
So we had that great conversation. I'm sorry, everybody.
No, it's my fault. I derailed it with the whole Vanessa Lopez.
Here's my prediction. I believe that Peanut won.
Peanut probably won out.
I don't think Plain is the favored majority.
I would be interested to see sales figures for Plain versus, you know, I bet we could figure it out that way.
Yeah. Do a quick search, Noel. Sorry about that, everyone. What a dum-dum. This is a professional podcast, for God's sakes. So, Poll Truth, best Thanksgiving movie, and sort of the biggest two that came to mind for me were Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and Home for the Holidays. Do you see Home for the Holidays? Holly Hunter. And,
I saw that in the theater a long time ago. That was a cool, intense little movie.
It was good. It was funny.
But didn't
Robert Downey Jr.?
Didn't it have some kind of intense stuff in it? Like,
I think so. I'm trying to remember
now. Was it one of the, like a drug addict or something? Or there was some family?
I think Jodie Foster directed this movie, actually.
I think you're right. I remember really liking that and seeing it in the theaters a long time ago, but I don't remember much about it.
There may have been some sort of... are you thinking of The Family Stone? That movie, well, it would spoil it. That had a family tragedy, I think, involved. But I don't think Home for the Holidays did. It was definitely directed by Jodie Foster. Very good movie.
The one line or the little log line, it's got Steve Guttenberg in it. He's apparently a snob.
Goots.
And Cynthia Stevenson apparently is a long-suffering sister.
Yeah.
And then we have...
And Bancroft and Charles Durning. They were great.
And Geraldine Chaplin, who is apparently a nutty aunt. But then the evening gets interesting when sparks fly between Claudia and her brother's handsome friend, Leo Fish, played by Dylan McDermott. What
he was
name.
Funny in this, actually.
Leo Fish. That's a great name.
That is a great name. That's a name only a screenwriter could come up with, though. This is overwhelming. 579 people said planes, trains, and automobiles, and only 85 said home for the holidays. That's to be expected. I didn't think it would crush that much, but Home for the Holidays is a really, really good Thanksgiving movie.
And like I said, planes, trains, and automobiles gives me serious anxiety.
Yeah, so. I know, because they're just late and they don't have their car and they don't have their train.
They're having all these travel logistic problems, you know?
Are you have travel stress?
I just want to. I want everything to work out.
Sure,
you know. Yeah. I try to do everything in my power to be prepared and to, like, you know, get places on time.
That's right. You're a good little Boy Scout.
I try to be.
Mike Shapiro in the comments says, "Pieces of April." Got to shout that out because I love that movie too, Mike. And that is a great Thanksgiving movie, but just a little too obscure for a 50-50 choice. He says it's Patricia Clarkson's best role. I don't know about that, but boy, she was great, and that was just a really good movie. So highly recommend everyone see Pieces of April. Jana Kuhn says, Chuck, this isn't a fair poll. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Thank Facebook for that, everyone. Sheila Hartwell says, son-in-law wasn't an option. That's funny. I didn't know that was a Thanksgiving movie. I don't think I ever saw that. I never saw any Pauly Shore movie, Noel.
Not even
Nope.
Encino Man?
Nope.
You don't know about Wheezing the Juice?
You mean Duke and the Stats?
No, Wheezing the Juice. This is when he goes in. He's the weasel. He already had that in his, like, stand-up, right?
Yeah,
that
was, which is the funny because I liked him on MTV, and I thought he was kind of funny. I don't know why I didn't see any of those dumb movies.
Yeah, they're real dumb. But in Encino Man, he goes into, like, a gas station, like a 7-Eleven, and he, like, sticks his head under the frosty machine and starts pouring it directly into his mouth. And he calls it Wheezing the Juice.
Ooze. Link and I are cruising the mountain, bro, and we figure we's a little juice.
No, wheezing the juice.
How do you not know this? This is an important part of the cultural zeitgeist.
I was an MTV kid, though. Of course I liked the weasel. That was funny. All right, poll truth, Dirty Dancing's. I did a couple of these. Emily thought these were great. She helped me come up with them, too. She helped me write these. Dirty Dancing's baby and Johnny, the very famous couple from Dirty Dancing. 5 years later, Splitsville or still dancing? I think that's an interesting question.
Wasn't there a Dirty Dancing sequel? Havana Nights?
Yeah, but I don't think it had anything to do with them.
Well,
I might be wrong. I didn't see it.
You know what? I remember hearing a great story about, like, I think Peter Sagal, the guy that hosts that
NPR. Wait, don't tell me?
Yeah. He actually wrote the screenplay that got turned into Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
Really?
But it wasn't ever intended to be a Dirty Dancing movie. It was actually based on some experience that he had.
Of, like, cool Cuban dancing.
Yeah, and then the studio, like, had the rights to make another Dirty Dancing movie.
And they just slapped that title on it.
And they slapped it right on there. I'm pretty sure it was either him or one of the other guys that do one of those quiz type shows. But
that's funny.
I don't know, man. I've never seen Dirty Dancing.
That's a whole.
I know that they have the time of their lives, though.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it because...
And they owe it to each other.
Emily loves that movie, so I've seen it a bunch at my house on TV, like when I'm working and stuff in bed. But I think I might have even seen it when it came out, like pre-Emily. That's my dirty secret. So
your Dirty Dancing secret?
I think Emily agreed to. 495 of you said Splitsville. There's no way that Baby and Johnny are still together. And only 171 people are dear-hearted enough to say they're still dancing.
Just dancing away into the sunset?
Still dancing.
Do they just have to dance all the time? Is that part of the rules of the movie, that is, they're always dancing?
No.
It's like basketball where you can't stop dribbling.
What
about Flashdance? Is that the same?
No. Is it the same movie? Good Lord, no.
Is it the same type of movie?
No, not at all.
No? Okay.
Dirty Dancing is a very sort of saccharine love story.
It's a musical, right?
About sort of, no, it's not a musical. It's about this family in the 50s that goes on vacation and, like, I think it's like the Catskills or something for the summer, and they do this every year. And there's a dancing instructor that's a little older, paid by the Sways, and he has a little affair with a daughter of a guest.
I must be thinking of Footloose. That is kind of a musical, right? Isn't that one, like, it's no.
There's a lot of music. It's soundtrack heavy.
But how do they justify these dance numbers just out of the clear blue sky?
Well, it's interesting. There was a certain genre of movie that you can't call a musical because they're not singing, but they're dance movies to where people will break out and dance to music that you're hearing in the theater.
Yeah.
As if it is broadcast in the film somehow.
Yeah.
Although in the movies, I think there usually is music playing, like in the very famous Footloose dancing through the fucking hay barn or whatever with Kevin Bacon. Uh-huh. He pops in, very clearly pops in a cassette tape in his VW Bug and opens the doors and cranks it up.
Right.
And it's, you know, but fills like, this barn with music.
But like there's no one else around. It's just Kevin Bacon.
Just Kevin Bacon working on his moves.
Okay.
Yeah. Which are both dance and gymnastic.
I love this. Yeah. I need to see Footloose.
It's good, dude.
I should watch all of these. I should do like a dance, 80s dance trilogy.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of other movies. I mean, Dirty Dancing, it was the music that was in the movie because they were dance instructors. So the music was, you know, it made sense.
Question.
Yes.
Why is it Dirty Dancing? That always
Here's the deal is during the daytime, all these dance instructors teach like the tango and all these very traditional things to like the senior citizens of the camp or whatever.
I got it.
But at night,
they
get together and they get in the back halls with the lights down, and they
a little sultry.
They dirty dance.
I see.
Which is basically just grinding like real sexy.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah. So she goes to one of these parties after hours.
Uh-huh.
Baby does.
Yeah.
She's like, who's that guy?
Uh-huh.
And that's Johnny.
So she had a bit of an awakening.
You could say so.
For Johnny.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
It's actually not a bad movie.
No, I'm not trying to talk
like
shit.
It was a huge movie for a reason. Like it was still okay.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around the genre, like what the genre of these type of movies, because they don't seem like musicals and they don't seem like full narrative.
Dance movies.
There's something. Yeah, they're
dance movies. Flashdance was the same way. It was and like Saturday Night Fever. No one's singing in any of these movies.
That's right.
But there are plenty of dance numbers.
What about Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Flashdance is good though. You should see that. That's a story of empowerment, female empowerment. Sort of, for the time.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's do another poll. We're going to finish these up. A lot of commentary, Noel. It's good to have you back. Me and here commentating.
I've been saving it up, Chuck.
You didn't. You took a vow of silence.
I had no
in LA.
One to talk to. I was by myself in L.A.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was traveling alone.
Do you not have any peeps there?
Oh, I do. I hung out with some folks, but it was just like, you know.
I was like, I'll loan you some peeps.
I've got some. Yeah, please loan me some peeps. But L.A. is also like so spread out, and everyone's like working.
Sure.
I was there during the week.
It's a pain in the ass for anyone to get anywhere. They're like, where are you? That's the first question they'll ask.
Oh yeah.
Like, hey man, I'm in town. Where are you staying? Because I'm not coming to you.
Nope.
All right, mini crush, pole truth. Full frontal nudity. Your choices were, sure, why not? Or no private parts, please.
You mean, do I want to see it or will I do it?
Well, will you do it?
Depends on how much we're talking.
Do you want to see it?
Of course. Why do I care?
Yeah.
I don't want to like take, I want to know in advance if a movie I'm going to with like my mom or my 10-year-old has, you know, hanging dong or whatever. I definitely want to know in advance.
Here's my deal. If it's like, if it serves a story, then fine. I'm not going to be prudish about it. For women, you know, there's generally some giant merkin. That's what they call it, you know, this false pubic hair piece.
It's a pubic wig.
To cover, pubic wig to, you know, cover the parts that, like, you don't really want to, it's not a porn.
Well,
you know?
No, it doesn't have to be.
And then for dudes hanging their dong out, like, again, it's not porn, so yeah. I don't want to get too crude here, but it's not, like, it's never erect.
You know who loves doing
it's
that?
It's just a dong shot.
Is Harvey Keitel. He loves a good dong hang.
Yeah.
Have you seen Bad Lieutenant?
Yeah,
that's donged. one of the last shots in the movie is him.
Yeah.
You know, flaccid dong hang. And then you've
Harvey
got,
Keitel has shown his dong.
You got the piano. There's a hang in that one, too.
Yeah, he showed his dong in that one. He was not shy.
But that's the thing that's interesting is you definitely feel like women are more pressured to do it than men, obviously. But it's also when it happens with a man in a movie, it usually is a little bit more deliberate. Like it's like this is, I don't know, not important, but like they don't, they certainly don't.
It's
just
a bigger deal is made about it for sure.
Yeah, but
like saving Silverman.
Yeah, that was the one.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, you're right. That is a different movie entirely.
But Jason Segel showed his dong, and it was like the subject of every single movie review and article about it.
But that was funny. The fact that full frontal nudity played into the gag.
Yeah, it was shocking for sure because all of a sudden it happens, and you're like, whoa.
You're also I didn't know this was this kind of movie, this kind of picture.
Yeah, it was a bold choice.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so that's what we feel. Everyone, 730 of you are not prudish, and you just said, sure, why not? And 158 of you, though, said, no private parts, please.
No.
They don't want to see dong or
merkin.
Merkin.
Yeah.
Is the plural merkin, merkin, or merkins?
I don't know.
I bet it's merkin.
I think it's merkin, sort of like.
Like 100 wild merkin in the woods?
Wild merkin, yeah. Do you remember the name of the president in Dr. Strangelove?
Oh, man. I remember Dimitri because he said it over and over. Yeah. What was it?
It's President Merkin Muffley.
God, I can't believe I didn't remember that. That's funny.
That's great.
It's a very Kubrickian joke.
Big time.
Art Riddle says it's actually more annoying when people are conveniently wrapped in sheets to hide. That's a good point. And Adrian Crane says, yes, I assume, with a caveat, if the story calls for it, I'm over the gratuity of it, especially female full frontal cough, cough, HBO. Yeah, she's probably talking about, what's it called, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
And I totally agree. That's just bullshit in this day and age to be like, hey, throw some naked lady out there.
Well, but then, I mean, I would say more so in Westworld, because in Westworld, the robot characters are always naked.
Are they?
When they're like being serviced or whatever, like in the real world.
Sure, because it's a robot.
Yeah, but they're always naked. So that's... You could argue that that does serve the plot. You could also argue that it's like an opportunity to have nudity constantly.
Right. Interesting. That is one case where I could see you just being like, well, no, this is the story. They're robots and like it would be weird to have their clothes on while you're working on them.
Right.
But hey, it's also a chance to show some skin.
It's a chance. That's true. But it's also very unsexy because they're like always very like dead-eyed looking and kind of like pale and like, you know, it's not meant to titillate, I don't think.
So. If that titillates, there are problems.
Whereas Game of Thrones does throw things in that are absolutely meant to titillate.
Right.
That's sort of, I could see that being the basis of that argument.
Yeah. Quite a few people answer too that when it's for comedy too, it can be kind of funny. So yeah, interesting.
Remember that scene? Did you see the Bruno movie?
Oh yeah, didn't that old character like show his balls or something?
It was just like a part where there's a giant penis
with
a cartoon face on it that's swinging around like a helicopter, and it's full screen just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that was pretty funny.
So I did another poll truth about a fictional movie couple and whether or not they would still be together. I did Pretty Woman 5 years later. Are they still together? And your choices were Natch or As If. You like that?
Was that Richard Gere?
Yeah.
He was the guy?
Yeah. And Julia Roberts.
And wasn't that meant to be sort of like almost an updated version of like My Fair Lady, kind of, where he turns her into a...
Yeah.
Sort of. That's said, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think people have said that.
Which is inherently sexist and weird, right? Like the whole idea of like this...
Like
upstanding
a man
gentleman
will,
is going to turn this sex worker into a lady,
yeah.
You know? No, yeah. I've never seen Pretty Woman.
It's certainly dated.
Is the movie itself dated, do you think?
Sure.
Yeah, Pretty Woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for real. And, you know, the message is like, in fact, Bongwater, the great band Bongwater, Ann Magnuson, has one of my favorite songs of all time is Bongwater's folk song. And in folk song, she goes on a diatribe. It's like a 10-minute song about Pretty Woman, about the message of Pretty Woman is, that's all a woman's made of, sucking and shopping. And then she starts this repetitious thing, and the music's driving, and she's going, sucking and shopping and sucking and shopping. And I wish a rich, handsome man would come along and pluck me off the streets and take me shopping on Hollywood Boulevard. And it's pretty, yeah.
Okay.
It's like a straight up condemnation, but in only a very satirical, funny way.
I've got to watch the movie and then hear the song.
Oh, man, Bongwater's great. All right. So 277 of you say Natch. And 354 say As If. So that's interesting. That's way closer. 277 of you think that this rich businessman and sex worker ended up together 5 years later.
Very interesting.
Romantics at heart, I guess. All right. I think there's one more poll, Noel. Oh, actually, that's it. That's all the polls, everybody. I exhausted the polls.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
We'll do one more segment, and I'm going to skip Noel's Holes for the week. I'm going to give you a break, and I am going to do this is kind of interesting. This is a little crowdsourcing of movie crush ideas on future segments from you all, and let you sort of really truly run the show here on Mini Crush. And I said we'll read them on the air, and then you and I will pick pick some of these for the future. So, Noel, I need to know from you, like, which one of these do you think we should do in the future?
Yeah.
And we'll keep track of these and genuinely do these. So, Jordan Wheeler, and also know if you submit for this, you can also get chided and have us say your idea stinks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. That's implicit in the whole interaction. Right?
But it'll all be fun. Jordan Wheeler says, how about a segment where you try and badly explain the plot of a well-known movie?
That happens on the reg.
Like that's our show.
Five times an episode. Yeah.
You're totally right. We should call it Mini Crush.
Exactly.
He says, e.g., for Star Wars, you could say, one family's constant drama and incessant religious fervor, along with a good dollop of casual incest, leads to treason and the genocide of various native species.
No.
That's pretty awesome,
though. That's not how we do it, though.
No, we would
try our best.
That's good, Jordan.
No, that is quite good.
Just what you wrote about Star Wars, that is very creative.
They said dollop of incest?
A good dollop of casual incest. That is good, Jordan. I'm going to give you props for that.
Yeah, yeah.
We might use that. I don't know if I'm good enough to write something.
No, but that's
good.
My point, though. We wouldn't do it like that. We would do it how we do it, where we would kind of be grasping at this plot. You know?
Well, he just gave us an example.
It was a good example.
Yeah.
But I think we know. I think we would know how to go about this.
I like that, everybody. All right, Matthias Holtzman says this. I don't know if this could be a segment, maybe, but I do like this. He said, how many movies have their title within their dialogue? Like The Godfather, someone actually says The Godfather in that movie.
Well, there's actually
one ever says Star Wars.
So there's this amazing YouTube collection with clips of movies where they make the movie end as soon as someone in the movie says the name of the movie.
All right, kid, do you have an example that we play?
Yeah, well, here's two back to back. First one is Jurassic Park, and then the second one is Lord of the Rings.
T-Rex?
Mm-hmm.
You said you've got a T-Rex?
Uh-huh.
Say again.
We have a T-Rex.
Wow.
Put your head between your knees.
Dr. Grant. My dear Dr. Sattler. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
It's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks.
Well, that rules you out, Nick.
Nine companions.
So be it. You shall be the Fellowship of the Ring. Ah!
Back on, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone.
And it's always like some rock song.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
They do the titles, like the titles from the end of the movie and everything. But yeah, there's a bunch.
I love it.
There's a lot of movies where it's sort of like a band who has
a song called their band title?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more along the lines of like, a song that has the lyric in it that is the name of the album, but it isn't a song.
Oh,
itself,
sure. Right? Yeah. I like that. That's a good one, Matthias. Thank you for sending that in. I don't know if we'll do that segment, but we might touch on those every now and then. I'm definitely going to YouTube that shit for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's got almost like a billion views. No, it's got almost 2 million views.
A billion?
A billion. I'm bad at reading numbers.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Brian Bisesi. Says, is it me or? So that's the title. Is it me or blank? Some movies that are universally loved, but the Chuck Noller Movie Crusher commenters never saw the appeal of. So in other words, Noel, you would say, is it me or does, what movie did you say you didn't like?
Splash?
Or is Splash no good?
Yeah. Is it, I don't understand. Is this like meant to be a bit of dialogue from like, is this a trope? Is it me or? Or is this more just like a thing that you don't like that other people like?
Yeah, like maybe something that sort of most people like that you don't like.
Huh.
All right.
What would yours be?
Oh, geez.
I get it. Is it me or is the name of the segment? I got it.
Yeah.
We might workshop that a little bit. I'm into this, though. It could be like overrated, underrated or something like that. Maybe we each pick an overrated thing and then an underrated thing. That might be fun.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So for me, an overrated movie would be... that's hard because I don't really think in those terms most of the time. Like if I'm not into it, I just kind of like it flies right out of my mind. I don't really think about what other people Maybe like, oh, like La La Land, I thought was way overrated.
Oh, I know. You always go on and on about that fucking movie. That movie that was awesome that everyone loves.
That's the point of the segment.
All right. Ben McVitty says, crush call. And by the way, big ups to you guys who came up with cool, clever titles, because, you know, we like to do that here. Ben McVitty says, crush call. Have listeners enter and draw and give a phone number. Oh, okay. So one select one listener and give them a call and spend 5 minutes talking about their favorite movie. Crush call. 5 minutes or so. Hey, that is not bad.
No, that's good. And we actually, you know, stuff that I want you to know, we have a call-in number. That
oh, really?
We have, it records them, and you can access them and download them and play them on the show. So
damn,
you can absolutely do that.
That's some dark ops shit.
Sometimes they are the ones that people, yeah, we've only done one episode, but most of them were great. And then a couple of them was like this dude, like one of them was this guy like breathing really heavy.
Yeah.
And like saying really creepy stuff, but it was kind of a joke. He was putting on, yeah.
Gotcha. Crush call. Ben, that might be a good way, because I've been talking about having listeners on as guests. So maybe little 5 minute chunks, I can get more people in. And then there's not the pressure of someone who, you know, may not want to be on for 45 minutes or whatever. All right. I like that. Megan Carroll says, gear up, where you talk about a piece of equipment. Get really nerdy and get in some of the crazy camera adaptations.
Well, that'd be fun to have our boy Casey Pegram in for a segment
gear
like
up.
That.
That's he's, good.
Or maybe even just like talk about the history of a particular type of,
lens, like the Steadicam. I think I might have done something on the Steadicam.
Something like that, yeah. Or even just like the look of a certain era of film. You could talk about Technicolor. Or like, I don't know.
It's gear
like,
up. I like
gear
it.
Up. That's good.
That's good. You know what? A lot of these are great, everyone. So I think what I'm going to do is go through this list, transfer that. Who am I kidding? I'm never going to do that. I'll just leave it up and refer to it. I think that does it for this week, Noel.
I think it does, Chuck. We're at 31 minutes, so
that's perfect.
That's the short and sweet. Let's just leave it at that.
All right. Thanks, everybody, and thanks for all these great ideas and funny comments on the polls, and for interacting with us as always. These mini crushes are slowly becoming your voice, which I really like. And as long as we have Noel over there chuffing up every now and then. On that's your cue.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? No.
Yes.
Chuffing up.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
I'm confused.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rachel Zoe here, and we're going back to the Rachel Zoe Project for a very special takeover on my podcast, Climbing in Heels. Come with me as I take you back to season one to give you all the behind-the-scenes details and drama. I'll be joined by some special guests that'll be helping me share the real stories behind the most iconic moments in the show. So do not miss this special takeover of Climbing in Heels. It's going to be bananas. Listen to Climbing in Heels with Rachel Zoe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.